The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
And now a public service announcement from Pope Fauci.
Okay, let's do it, because, you know, school's right around the corner, so I got to make sure. I love you and all of eternity well. All of humanity, sorry. All of eternity, once you're on the other side of this, you don't have to worry about COVID or anything else for that matter, or Pope Fauci. But Pope Fauci, just trying to help us out. Please, Lord, let him retire before the end of the year. All right, let's just play this. This was him just on the last day, or a couple of days, okay, talking about what's going on this fall. Go.
Example, the CDC has on their website a map of the country with different color codes, green, yellow, orange, and red. And when you are in a zone or a county, yes, state, or a city that has a very high level of dynamic of viral circulation, ooh, the CDC would recommend, yes, strongly that you wear a mask in a congregate indoor setting. Hmm. And that would include schools, places, yes, of, yes, work, mm-hmm, anything that brings people together, mm, in a closed environment.
Yes. Mm.
That is good public health practice.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Enough of that. That is good health practice. By the way, about a third of the country is in the orangish red. He's wrong there. And if you guys went to the CDC website, it's not four colors, it's three. And about a third of the country is in the orange red, meaning high transmission rates, you know, because to quote Joe Biden, everybody's going to get it. And you probably had it already yourself. And then when you go look at the average ages of people out there that have died from COVID, that doesn't really work well with the narrative either when you go actually see that stuff. I'm looking at a chart right here. How about that? COVID-19 average age of death by month, starting all the way back in January of 2020. And then let me just read to you the average age of death by COVID. Okay. Not with COVID. I'm going to go out on a limb here and think this is an honest chart. I'm going to start with January of 2020. Average age of death from COVID: 80, 74, 83.3, 82.4, 79.2, 80.9, 82, 83, 82, 80.4, 77.5. It did dip down to, in July of 2021, 69.1. Then it started climbing back up. And in 2022, it's 80.1, 81, 81.4, 83.9, 86.3, and 84.6. And here's Pope Fauci saying that it's good science and good medical advice to, if you're going to be in a heavily, whatever fancy phrase he used, heavily congregated area, anywhere where there's more than one person within 6 feet, then you should have a mask on. Even though we know now, not just from American information, but from information all around the world, that, dramatic pause, masks don't. So what's up with that? Because the people at the top are so prideful. They are so arrogant, so given over to their power, that no matter what gets presented, the king has no clothes on. They are going to go to their grave saying he's fully dressed and he's triple vaxxed and quadruple boosted and wearing five masks, because the more is the merrier, according to Fauci. So there's that, the leadership at the top in Washington, D.C., which takes me over to this one. Welcome back, by the way. This is Steve Noble, thestevenobleshow.com. And you can be right here in the studio with me on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, or you can catch the podcast whenever, wherever, on all the major podcast platforms. Kamala Harris urges lawmakers to codify Roe. You've been hearing that, right? We've got to codify Roe. I'm going to do a story here in a minute where they're codifying gay marriage. That just means they pass a law versus the Supreme Court passing a dictate. They say, like in 2014 with Obergefell, or however you say the last name, because there's about 20 different pronunciations of that. They say that all of a sudden, actually, you can't deny a same-sex couple marriage, that it's constitutionally protected right. So even though there's no law in the books, all of a sudden, boom, gay marriage is the law of the land. And so if Congress passes a law, that's how they, quote unquote, codify gay marriage, which we'll get to. But this is about abortion because they're losing their minds. Although, isn't it amazing how quickly the overturning of Roe versus Wade, thank you, Lord Jesus, has fallen off the front page? Did you hear this one? Kamala Harris urges lawmakers to codify Roe fast because, wait for it, dramatic pause, women are getting pregnant. Now, not just, but pregnant every day. It's Snarky Friday on a Monday. Women are getting pregnant every day. And to somebody like Kamala Harris, who's totally given over to the progressive liberal agenda, that's a problem. Now, I wonder if she realizes here what a hateful statement this is, because she obviously is denying the fact that men can get pregnant too, which takes us into the realm of the transgender madness, which I'll get to with Bill Maher, the title of the show today. I like this liberal. The liberal I'm referring to is Bill Maher. We'll get to him after the break. So here's Vice President Kamala Harris lamented that women are getting pregnant every day in America. Listen, women are getting pregnant every day in America, and this is a real issue. And we need to act with a sense of haste about what is at play, meaning, you know, killing babies. What's at stake in codifying Roe will be an important moment in terms of putting back in place protections for the folks who are at high risk now. Just stop for a second. Just use some critical biblical worldview thinking there. Just for a second. Doesn't take long. What's at stake in codifying Roe will be an important moment in terms of putting back in place protections for the folks who are at risk right now because of what the court did in Dobbs just weeks ago. What is missing? Right? One of these things is not like the other. What's missing in her thinking? And I don't even know that she is aware of it. She could be that much of a reprobate Romans 1 mind given over. Of course, who's most at risk, class, when it comes to an abortion? Could it be the baby ripped from its mother's womb? Or if it's in the second trimester, literally pulled limb from limb and brought out, reassembled, so they make sure. The vice president announced Monday that she's traveling to Indiana to meet with abortion supporters who are fighting on the front lines to protect reproductive rights as they march across the bodies of dead children, right? That's just the reality. I know that when I speak like this, it sounds harsh and unloving, but it's the truth. And I can't always speak the truth with respect to the people that deny it or are offended by it. Otherwise, you're never going to speak the truth. And by the way, if you study the scriptures, you'll find Jesus Christ, while always compassionate and kind and generous and patient, never compromised the truth. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons they killed him. Because you can't always soften the blow of reality. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website, or you can join us here on Facebook or on YouTube Live, just The Steve Noble Show page on either place. And you can be here in the studio. And by the way, I continue to talk and say different things during the break and sometimes interact with my friends on Facebook. And we have kind of a sidebar conversation. I do that with guests. So like last Friday, for example, with John Burke, Pastor John Burke out of Austin, Texas, who wrote an amazing book called Imagine Heaven about near-death experiences and stuff. 30-year study, starting as a skeptic. It's an amazing book. And we spent about an hour and 10 minutes together. But on the radio, if all you do is ever listen to the radio or the podcast, you get about 40 minutes, which is the normal segments. And so there was an extra almost 30 minutes, 25 minutes with John talking about near-death experiences and things in the book and heaven. It was fascinating. So, but you can only get that if you watch on Facebook or on YouTube. So there's a whole nother level there for those of you that use those platforms and want to jump in here. So I hope you do. Otherwise, radio, praise the Lord. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for radio. And we're going to stay in radio as long as the Lord allows us to. And the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, we're on all of those as well. Okay, Republicans, this is a quiz I asked last week. Do you know what happened last week? Last week. Last Tuesday, 47 House members, Republicans, walked away from the party's principles and platforms to cast a vote for, in the affirmative, F-O-R, for same-sex marriage. The list included a surprising number of our movement's friends. This is Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council writing this. Men and women we never mistook as anything but conservative. Now, Senate Majority Chuck Schumer smelling blood in the water, is eager to drive an even deeper wedge, insisting he'll move forward with his own vote if he can find 10 Republicans foolish enough to endorse it. So they get past, they got to get past cloture, which is the 60 votes that they have to have in the Senate in order to even vote for something. So they need 60 senators to go, yeah, let's vote on it, which is some protections for the minority. And then they actually take a normal vote. So remember that. 24 hours later, at least four Republicans have taken the bait in the Senate, walking into a political trap that could very well eat into the margins of GOP needs in November. To no one's surprise, liberal Republican Senators Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are on board, as well as outgoing Senator Rob Portman from Ohio. But the real bombshells started dropping last Wednesday, when more conservatives seemed to be testing the waters on a radical issue that 7 years ago they vehemently opposed. Names like Roy Blunt from Missouri, Joni Ernst from Iowa, and Tom Tillis here in North Carolina started popping up in news stories as possible yeses to codify so-called gay marriage. Just as astounding, only 9 Republicans have jumped to marriage's defense. Senator Bill Cassidy, John Cornyn, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, Jim Inhofe, James Lankford, Marco Rubio, and Roger Wicker. A whopping 37, many of them pro-family stalwarts, are either undecided or unresponsive. What's going on there? What's changed, Tony Perkins writes? Certainly not the significance of marriage or the Constitution. Not the party's platform or the role of states' rights. If anything's changed, it's the ferocious war being waged against our children's innocence, religious freedom, parents, and human biology. His point there is that the gay marriage movement, and eventually Obergefell, opened the door to a lot of other things, okay, kind of like a Trojan horse, which is what we were saying about 10 or 12 years ago, and everybody said, no, that's ridiculous. No, we were right. Maybe these senators think that linking arms with the left makes them seem more compassionate or contemporary. But real leaders don't vote out of fear or political calculus. They don't take their cues from the courts or public opinion. They do what's right, no matter what it costs them. That's what voters respect, and that's what voters who have stood by this party's values deserve. So what's going on there? That was 47 Republicans in the House voted to codify, agree with gay marriage here in America. And if I were in the House, I would have voted my not only my Christian conscience, but my constitutional conscience, because I don't think you can find a constitutional right to that. But my Christian conscience overrides my political conscience, and I have a right to vote if I win, if I won election and got into the U.S. House of Representatives. I would have a right to vote to whatever, however I felt like it, although I should be sensitive, obviously, to the people that elected me. And if somebody like me were to get elected to the House of Representatives, you know darn well that the people that voted me in and everybody else would know, oh, he's one of those crazy Christian wackos. Therefore, when I stood up and voted no on codifying quote-unquote so-called gay marriage, that would be perfectly consistent. And I would be allowed to do so as a member of American society. So what's up with these 47? Well, you know, it's on down the road. Not that many gay people have gotten married. It was never really about that. And that's the way the culture's going. And so I don't know that I want to die on that hill. That's politics. That's not principle. Shame on them. Okay, Bill Maher. We're going to start some of this. Bill Maher, HBO, right? Uber liberal. But man, in the last year or so, there's certain subjects, and specifically the trans subject, where he's just in the woke thing, where he sees it destroying the Democrat Party, which I'll also get to. A great article in American Greatness called How Did Democrats Become So Out of Touch with the American People? And he does a great job. Bill Maher, this is fabulous. It's pretty long. We're not going to get to it all. We'll start it. Okay, Josh, we're going to start this and then we'll stop it before we hit the break and then we'll complete it. But Bill Maher and then Donna Brazile is there, right? Big time Uber liberal Democrat operative. She's sitting there on his HBO show, and he goes down the road of dealing with this trans madness with kids. Listen to this. This is fabulous. Go.
And finally, new rule of something about the human race is changing at a previously unprecedented rate. We have to at least discuss it. Broken down over time, the LGBT population of America seems to be roughly doubling every generation. According to a recent Gallup poll, less than 1% of Americans born before 1946, that's Joe Biden's generation, identify that way. 2.6% of boomers do, 4.2% of Gen X, 10.5% of millennials, and 20.8% of Gen Z. Which means if we follow this trajectory, we will all be gay in 2054.
He's thinking. That's critical thinking. Okay? He's using the numbers. Because he's smart.
And then who's going to buy this chair?
It's an old man's chair. Right?
I'm just saying that when things change this much, this fast, people are allowed to ask, what's up with that?
Yes.
All the babies are in the wrong bodies?
Listen to the uncomfortable laughter.
Was there a mix-up at the plant, like with Cap'n Crunch's Oops All Berries? It wasn't that long ago when adults asked a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? They meant, what profession?
Hear how uncomfortable they are? Uber liberal.
In the wake of America about to lose abortion rights, the ACLU recently tweeted a list of those who would be disproportionately harmed by this. You would think women might top that list. No, wasn't even on the list. Second on the list was LGBT. Really? Abortion rights affects gay and trans people more than, you know, breeders?
That's a great point.
I'm happy for LGBT folks that we now live in an age where they can live their authentic lives openly. And we should always be mindful of respecting and protecting. But someone needs to say it. Not everything's about you.
All right, pause it right there. So this is Bill Maher on HBO, who has, he's an uber liberal himself with an uber liberal audience. But on this subject and the woke thing, he's being brutally honest and employing critical thinking, which is why everybody's like, huh, am I allowed to laugh at this? And he keeps it going. It's amazing. He does a great job, and it's just critical thinking. Now, I would add a biblical worldview to that, but the fact that he's critical thinking on the left is awesome. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, where Bill Maher is quickly becoming my favorite liberal because Bill Maher and his HBO show occasionally, and it seems like increasingly, is willing to upset the apple cart of his own audience because he's intellectually honest. He sees something. It's true. It doesn't matter all the pressure and all the weight coming from the woke left. So the woke agenda in the last few years, Bill Maher is really speaking out about this. He's got a pretty big audience on HBO. He's very well known and very well liked. Especially on the left, and he doesn't bend the knee there. Okay, in this case, he's bending his knee to intellectual honesty, to the obvious problems involved in the madness of this transgender movement. And again, when I talk about this in no uncertain terms, believe me, because I've counseled people, our buddy Walt Heyer, all kinds of things. I have a compassionate heart and a Christ-like heart when it comes to the issue and the people that are struggling with it and the reality of what happens to them. I have a soft heart about that. Then there's the issue and how it manifests in the culture, and I'm just going to come right at it. Because, like Bill Maher's going to say, we've turned children, essentially, my words, not his, into lab rats. For what? For woke ideology's sake. That's when your ideology takes you so far, we're obviously willing to sacrifice children to Molech. Why wouldn't we be willing to sacrifice their genitals to Molech as well? And we do, as a culture. God help us. So this is Bill Maher talking about the whole transgender thing, specifically with children, okay? All right, go ahead.
And finally, not long ago, when adults asked a kid, what do you want to be when you're growing up?
That's good.
Maybe that's why Sweden...
You went a little too far forward.
In the wake of America... In the wake of America about to lose abortion rights, the ACLU recently tweeted a list of those who would be disproportionately harmed by this. You would think women might top that list. No, wasn't even on the list. Second on the list was LGBT. Really? Abortion rights affects gay and trans people more than, you know, breeders?
He uses humor, okay, but he's
right. I'm happy for LGBT folks that we now live in an age where they can live their authentic lives openly. And we should always be mindful of respecting and protecting. But someone needs to say it. Not everything's about you.
Amen.
And it's okay to ask questions about something that's very new and involves children. The answer can't always be that anyone from a marginalized community is automatically right, trump card, mic drop, end of discussion. Because we're literally experimenting on children. Maybe that's why Sweden and Finland have stopped giving puberty blockers to kids. Because we just don't know much about the long-term effects. Although common sense should tell you that when you reverse the course of raging hormones, there's going to be problems. We do know it hinders the development of bone density, which is kind of important if you like having a skeleton. Fertility and the ability to have an orgasm seem also to be affected. This isn't just a lifestyle decision. It's medical. Weighing trade-offs is not bigotry. Yet when a book questioning the sudden uptick in transitioning children was released, a trans lawyer with the ACLU named Chase Strangio tweeted, "Stopping the circulation of this book and these ideas is 100% a hill I will die on." How very civil liberties of him. Chase, by the way, has just been named one of the grand marshals of this year's New York City Pride March, along with three other trans people and a lesbian. Huh, what's missing here? Oh, right, a gay man.
It folds in on itself. This worldview.
That's where we are now. Gay men aren't hip enough for the gay pride parade. Compared to trans, gay is practically cis, and cis is practically Mormon.
Cis being you identify with the sex, biological sex of your birth.
And this is a phenomenon we need to take into account when we look at this issue. Yes, part of the rise in LGBT numbers is from people feeling free enough to tell it to a pollster, and that's all to the good. But some of it is, it's trendy. Penis equals man. Okay, boomer.
He's right. Okay, that
remember,
you can't go
the
there now. That's old fashioned.
Every teen is anything to shock and challenge the squares who brought you up. It's why nobody gets a nose ring at 56.
Right, we're talking about kids here, okay?
And if you haven't noticed that with kids, doing something for the likes is more important than their own genitals, you haven't been paying attention. Dr. Erica Anderson is a prominent 71-year-old clinical psychologist who is herself transgender and who now says, "I think it's gone too far." The LA Times summarizes, "She's come to believe that some children identifying as trans are falling under the influence of their peers and social media."
No kidding.
If you attend a small dinner party of typically very liberal upper-income Angelenos, it is not uncommon to hear parents who each have a trans kid having a conversation about that. What are the odds of that happening in Youngstown, Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
If this spike in trans children is all natural, why is it regional? Either Ohio is shaming them or California is creating them.
All right, stop there. Okay? And he's absolutely right. All right, why is it regional? If it's normal, why is it regional? That it's all bogus. Okay? And then you got all these parents. This is what you've seen at Disney with those leaked videos that came out. Because the head lady that was speaking at Disney about we want 50% of our characters in the Disney movies and TV shows to be LGBTQIA+++. Then that one of my kids is trans and one of my kids is pansexual. And they hang out with other people of like-minded. And then they think in their little group that that's representative of the rest of the nation. It isn't. But they don't care about the rest of the nation. They just care about their own view and the view of their friends. And so they're caught in this little echo chamber of madness. And they're willing to, in that reprobate state, turn children literally into lab rats. And kids out there being messed up by social media and digital media and all that mess. It's a social contagion. Being gay, is, for many, is a social contagion. And it's like a virtue signal now. That's why the percentages of people, when you come down the age range, the percentages of those that identify with LGBTQIA+ goes up. Because now it's a way of kind of virtue signaling. I'm a free thinker. I'm free-minded. I'll do what I want. Thank you very much. There's a bit of a shock jock mentality there, which has always been there for young kids, especially teenagers. So you go with that, and then all of a sudden you inject them with puberty blockers, testosterone, or estrogen, or you do a double mastectomies at 13. And that's just how broken and twisted and yes, evil this culture has become. That is the spirit of the age, without a doubt, all over the place. And it's brutal and it's heartbreaking. And you have to step into that with truth and grace. Josh Hammer in American Greatness wrote this: how did Democrats become so out of touch with the American people, right? Because they are. Look at Biden. We're all clamoring about the big issues of the day, not him, which is why a new Quinnipiac University survey, a paltry 31% of Americans approve of the way Joe is handling his job. Independents, that number is a 23%. With independents, a 23% approval rating versus 67% disapproval. Overall, nearly three quarters of Americans hope that Biden does not seek a second term. So we got all these things going on. The southern border, $4 a gallon and above gas, yada, yada, yada. No, not those guys. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about electric cars and his transgendered, quote-unquote, admiral in the Health Services Department talking about we need to make transgender conversion therapy and everything available to children. Those are their big issues? Not 9% inflation. The recession that we're in is going to be official this week. None of that stuff. Not the southern border and the train wreck down there on all kinds of levels. No, the hill they want to die on is electric cars. Thank you, Pete Buttigieg. And quote-unquote Admiral Levine, a messed up individual who's transgender, a man, who wants the government to enforce the availability of cross-hormone therapy and even transitioning surgery to children. What's up with that? Why are they doing that? He writes, Democrats fail to appreciate that America is truly blessed to sit atop such an abundant wellspring of hydrocarbons. That's on the issue of power. As the contentious issue of abortion returns to the states following the landmark Dobbs decision, congressional Democrats rush to statutorily codify national abortion access right up to birth. What? What's? This is so beyond reality. It's so twisted. The priorities of the modern Democrat Party are comically out of touch with those of the American people who simply want safe communities, stable prices, secure borders, and to be left alone by the COVID-era biomedical security state. Democrats don't talk about any of that at best, and they outright impede those prerogatives at worst. The dog that is the Democrat Party is manipulated by a multifaceted tail that is a grotesque fusion of criminal adulation, gay worship, Malthusian radicalism, eugenicist lust, and a gender ideology downstream of the worst excesses of American academia. Maybe that will play well for certain Upper West Side and West Hollywood voting precincts this November, but it won't play very well in real America, which is why you and me better be praying about this election, praying for those in authority over us, and in November, you better get out and vote for sanity. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Amen and amen to that. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A lot going coming at us this week. I was just talking to my Facebook and YouTube Live friends on the break financially. There's a lot going on this week, and we've got GDP stuff going on, which could point to an official definition of a recession. You've got a bunch of earnings coming out. And then Thursday, the Fed, are they going to raise rates? Is it going to be 0.75? Is it going to be a full 1 percentage point raise? I mean, this is going to be a wild week. And so we're glad to have our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital back in to help guide us, landmarkgold.com. And there's a lot of wild things on the tap this week, David. But before we go down that road, we should probably gird ourselves up in the Word of God. So we'll start there. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, we want to make sure we have a lot of oil in our lampstand. The parable of the ten virgins, because there's a lot of uncertainty right now. Yeah. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 5. Normally you don't do five verses, but it all fits right in. There's actually more verses to the whole encounter of the historical story. But verse 1 says, at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like ten virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took the lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, you know, the oil this talks about our commitment, our obedience, our love, our passion for Christ, and us serving Him, and making sure that we walk in the Spirit and have the fruits of the Spirit, and we don't run out this this long race that we're not of this world, but we're passing through. So, you know, we got to make sure where our source is, and we're plugged into our source, so we got to make sure we have enough oil, so that when we meet the Bridegroom, Jesus face to face, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So that's the spiritual side. You know, this might, and I hate to apply it this way, but this might be a good reference to, we're moving into uncertain times, very uncertain. And this is the time when you want to be engaged. You want to have oil in your lamp. You want to be engaged, not just spiritually, that, although that is the most important thing. You want to be engaged in your money. And this is where you want to make sure you have, you're looking at your 401k, your IRA, other things, and making sure you're in prayer and in the Word, and also getting consultation from those that believe and can give good financial ideas, not just me, but others, so that you can prepare for this next phase, whatever may happen in the marketplace.
Yeah, because the foolish virgins didn't really think about how long it might take for the bridegroom to show up, and they weren't prepared. And that's that happens to an alarmingly and shockingly and sadly high percentage of Americans who don't prepare. So it's a great word, David, and a great application. Thank you so much for that. So I mentioned this week a bunch of important news going on. So what should we be aware of?
So there's huge news. In fact, this, Steve, might be the most important week of the summer. Mm-hmm. Traders are bracing themselves for a busy week with corporate earnings. Those are coming out. They came out last week with the start of it. But much of this focus this week is going to be based on two other things. Wednesday, the Federal Reserve more than likely going to raise rates, 0.75 basis points, 0.75 point. I'll put us at 2.25. And Thursday, a big news, GDP report will come out the second quarter, and that looks like it's not going to be necessarily a good one. It's probably going to be negative, which means we will officially be in a recession.
Yeah, so this is kind of like a perfect storm, because earnings are going to – the thing with Wall Street is, even when they surpass their earnings, stated earnings goals, Wall Street can still spank them because they didn't pass them enough. Then you get – if the GDP comes out negative, then by definition we're in a recession. And then when they raise the rates too, I mean, this is like a perfect storm this week, isn't it?
It is. You know, unfortunately – The Biden administration, I'm not here to throw stones at presidents or administration, but when they're so far off, we got to be that balancing word in the environment, financially speaking, in this case. So the Biden administration has preempted this report, the GDP. Last quarter, the GDP came in negative at 1.6%, and now they're saying it's going to fall by 2.1%. The Fed is anticipating that. But the White House Economic Council is saying, ignore the goalposts. They're saying something that's been established for three decades that both Republicans, Democrats, and independents have all agreed upon, that how you know if you're going to have a recession is two negative quarters of GDP.
In a row.
Now they're telling us to ignore that.
Yeah. It really is amazing. I was referencing that earlier when I heard that before. I don't know if it was earlier today or over the weekend, David. I'm like, they're actually trying to redefine the word recession. And you can go online and look it up. It's not complicated to figure it out. When you have two quarters of negative growth in the GDP, that is a recession by definition. But of course, this is the same party that wants to define what it means to be a woman and a man and every other thing.
You're exactly right. So, you know, listen to the voice of reason here economically. And the voice of reason is the people who are in the trenches, Steve. Top CEOs, here's the article. Top CEOs fear a recession is coming. And in this article, it says, watch what the people who own small businesses, because 67% of the revenue to the government comes from small businesses in the last 25 years, according to reports from job growth. And a poll that was done most recently shows that small business owners, 48% of them believe we're already in a recession, and another 32 say we're going to hit one within a year. That's 80% of small business owners saying we're either here or we're going to be here real soon. Listen to the voice of reason, the ones that are in the trenches, seeing the prices rise, seeing inflation, not the ones that are disengaged, denying there is inflation and there is no recession coming.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And how long, David, off the cuff, how long do recessions tend to last? I mean, it's not going to be two quarters and then we're done. This is a different game than that.
Well, again, there's a lot of analysts fabricating, saying if we get in a recession, it will be two quarters or less. Historically, recessions are 19 months, which puts us into the year 2024, about 6 months into it. So don't try and defy the odds and say, this time it will be different. We've heard that happen too many times. It wasn't much different. We've had a weird environment. This is the time to be battening down the hatches. I've always said that since December of last year, and so far it's been accurate, and I think we're still not out of the woods.
Yeah, so the Fed will definitely raise rates this week. I don't think anybody's in a disagreement about that. Is this just them kind of slowly but surely applying more and more pressure to the brakes? And as this happens, what's going to be the effect?
So the Fed is trying to tighten the money, take money out of the system. And the problem with that is they're going to take out not enough to really make any difference, and raising rates is not going to make a significant amount of difference, because what they're affecting is the demand side of things. So we have, yes, we have inflation, but as I said 3 months ago, raising rates, unless they get them up to 7 or 8%, which they're not, is really not going to do much. All they're going to do is cause higher prices. Yeah. The Fed, in abandoning this whole idea of raising, or you know, getting rates to normalization. Normalization is 5.3%. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get to normal. The Fed is going to pivot before we get then, go back the other direction. Another more people are saying the Fed is coming out and pivoting. Rich Chacon, he's saying the Fed is going to pivot, and when they do, you're going to see a huge movement up in gold.
Yeah, it's just amazing, because the house is on fire. They're trying anything they can to save their political skin on this one. You mentioned gold. So what's the news on the market for gold and silver? It's been a really interesting year.
So more and more people, as we've been talking the last month and a half, are coming out and saying, I think there's about 9 analysts and newsletter writers that are very reputable, that do not own gold companies, do not sell gold, but are saying when the Fed pivots, you're going to see a big run in gold. And we have another one that's saying it, and I just mentioned his name, Rich Chacon. And there's also another guy by the name of Frank Holmes. He says the same thing. And he said the Fed's going to pivot around Thanksgiving. Rich is saying somewhere before the end of the year. And when this happens, gold will reach, within the next 12 months, $2,400. Well, this goes in line with Bank of America at $2,000 at the end of the year, Wells Fargo at $2,250. Peter Krauth is still holding his position in the next 5 to 10 years, $300 silver, $5,000 gold. But not all gold markets are the same. While the physical markets the paper market has gone down 5.5%, and it should be down, like I said, 40%, because the dollar's gone up over 11%. The physical markets, not all markets are the same. The physical markets have gone up 12.8%, and another physical market's gone up 9%. And it's the same thing in silver. Silver paper market is down 20%, while the physical silver market is up 7% or greater. So now's the time to be learning that there is this disconnect between the paper market and gold and silver physical market. Call my company and learn about it and how to get protected.
Yeah, because education is the key here, no matter what aspect of investment we're talking about. So if people are like, okay, I want to get educated, I want to understand what's happening here, this doesn't mean you're buying or doing anything. You just got to get educated. People perish for lack of wisdom. How do they do that?
So work with a specialist. Call us, learn about it, get a packet. You can call us at 844-604-2575. Again, the number is 844-604-2575, or landmarkgold.com.
Awesome. God bless you, buddy. Thanks for all the help, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, my brother.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you. Have a great week. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.